What's up, everyone, and welcome back to Breaking Blue, Kentucky Podcast. Feels like we've done this for 10 years now, but that's a good thing. That's a good thing, I promise. It's been fun. I'm Nolan Fleming still joined by Mr. Wildcat Wave himself, Wyatt Huff. Wyatt, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Basketball's officially started, so can't complain with that.
I'm ready. Let's do it, man. Basketball. We finally have a distraction from football, which, like last week, we're going to do a six-minute timer for. Before we start that, though, I don't know about you, but I had like an extra long weekend this weekend. Like I had a four-day weekend. Unrelated. I'm just saying I had a four-day weekend. Okay. I was off from class on Monday. Was that widespread? Am I the only person that had that long of a weekend?
Oh, well, I will say I went home Monday after the game, and then I stayed home yesterday, and I just came back today because I was voting on Tuesday.
I'm just saying mainly, like, I feel refreshed because I feel like I've had two fall breaks in a row.
I do.
Like, I feel great. This is a refreshing feeling.
I'm actually going home again this weekend. Can't make the Bucknell game because I'm watching my cousin play in his last football game.
Oh, there you go. That should be a good time. I don't plan on going to the Bucknell game just because I kind of want to watch it on TV. Mm-hmm. Enjoy some football along with it. We'll see what happens. But
it's a bye week, so we get some good basketball games on Saturday.
Like Louisville, Tennessee, going to watch that one and wish they both lose, right? Baylor, Arkansas. Yeah, I know. I offended somebody just now when I said Arkansas, but why are you talking about them? Stop talking about them. But
they're on right now.
Yeah, they're on right now. Neither one of us are watching. Yeah, whatever. They're on my TV.
I will say I took Arkansas plus 15.
I will say 15. They're showing. This is the first time I've ever seen this on an ESPN broadcast. They're showing the. That saying Arkansas is the number three freshman class, but they put in parentheses, according to 24/7 Sports, they're citing a source that's not themselves. That's new, dude. They haven't ever done that.
I was just about to say that. Like, wouldn't
they do ESPN 100? Is kind of what I'm thinking. Like your own recruiting database.
They always do ESPN.
Like, that's completely new. Like, 24/7 Sports. I mean, are we going to see On3 and Rivals next week? Like, that's interesting to me.
Are the rankings so that far off that they have to use 24/7?
Which I have always, and I'll say this here. I don't think I've ever, I don't know. I mean, no one follows me enough to know what I think on it. But I think ESPN 100 sucks, personally. I do not follow ESPN 100 for recruiting. I definitely follow 24/7 or On3.
They seem so behind the other two. The other two are really close in sync. But ESPN is just so far off.
They have incredible discrepancies between rankings of everyone else. Like, for instance here, let's look at Jasper Johnson's ranking right now on ESPN 100. Hang on. Jasper. Okay, give me just a second. But this is an example of, like, what it's been with them for kind of, like, over a decade. Let's see. Jasper Johnson on ESPN 100 is ranked 13th. Jasper Johnson on 24/7. Is ranked. He might be lower on 24/7 than he is on, or I thought he was like 10 or something in the. Jasper Johnson is ranked 14 on 24/7, so that one actually might not be a good example.
Yeah, but I've seen it. I've seen it.
I think back. Actually, I will say I think back to the late great Terrence Clark, and his recruitment. They had him at like 10th, and everyone else, mm-hmm. pretty much literally everyone else, had him at 3rd. In his class, yeah. That's what I think back to.
Is it because 24/7 and Rivals they have multiple people doing the rankings and Paul Biancardi is the only one that does ESPN.
Maybe
he's a terrific scout. Like,
oh my god,
if you could have somebody to break down your game, it's Paul.
And you have Branham over there doing a lot of good stuff. I mean, like, come on, they're stacked, and also they have some basketball geniuses over there, like. I definitely trust them way more than ESPN 100 because over there you have, like, I mean, I don't know. I don't even know who you have running ESPN 100 now. It's all based on, like, a bunch of weird stuff. Like, yeah, it's like consensus. Love, it's like averages is what it is for them.
What I love about that, I'll go along with the averages then. What I love about the 24/7 is the composite. Because they right. whatever they do, it seems so – it's pretty damn accurate, I would say.
It's always weird. I just – not a fan of ESPN 100. I think it's weird that they're citing a different source than their own company now.
That is funny. Weird. That like, is weird until you said that.
It's just interesting. All right, so on to a new topic, I suppose. Like last week, we gave ourselves 6 minutes on the clock to complain about the football team or the game. I will say, moving forward, we're not going to be explicit anymore. Wyatt, that might be news to you. It's kind of news to me just now. We're going to avoid that for a minute.
Okay. I just need to know what words.
I would say no F-bombs, obviously. Let's think of this. What's a word that would get you in trouble if you're explicit or if you're not explicit? F-bomb, obviously, right?
I mean, I just said damn like 2 minutes ago.
That's fine, though. I don't think that one will get you in trouble.
Well, that's fine, man.
The one word to describe someone's rear end, right? That one wouldn't either.
Okay, that's good. So far.
Avoid using it all the time. I think you're allowed like one or two of each, personally.
Okay.
But
I mean, I won't say it often on here.
But no. Like
sometimes it slips through.
But I mean, come on. I've dropped F-bombs on here a bunch. Yeah. I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm going to avoid it now. Congratulations to me. Interesting stuff. Riveting. So 6 minutes, we'll talk about this game. Why you went to Knoxville? How was it?
It was actually fun. Like I had a great trip.
What I tell
me
you?
And three other media members, we went down there. It was fun. It was fun and a great atmosphere. It's cool to see something besides Kroger Field. I was saying this on the way down there. I was like, I love Kentucky. I love Kroger Field, but I know Neyland Stadium is nowhere near Kroger Field's atmosphere, and that it was unbelievable.
Yeah, I've never been to Neyland. I'd love to go. Just to clarify, you are saying that Neyland is a better atmosphere than Kroger Field, right?
By far.
I don't know. I just was afraid someone was going to twist that. Anyway,
no.
But it definitely seems cool. But as far as the game itself.
And there's the little things that they did, like the video screens.
Right.
Like that at third down, they would put like some weird Halloween kind of graphic up there. That was pretty neat.
Well, as far as the game itself, I'll admit Kentucky overperformed to me, but a lot of that was due to Tennessee shooting themselves in their arm a lot. I mean, come on, they dropped 2 touchdown passes, missed 3 field goals, I think.
Yeah, he was off 3.
So that's 23 points off the board. So this could have been a lot worse than it was. I don't take a moral victory from it, not saying that, but I was happy to see the team fight at least.
The whole extent. Way down there. I mean, I never thought we would only lose by 10.
No, I didn't think we'd be in it like that. But again, I'm not taking a moral victory. I will say I do maintain my position, in which I said I believe it is probably time for a parting of ways between Mark Stoops and Kentucky in some fashion.
The writing is on the wall. It seems like he's.
Let's give ourselves a little longer than 6 minutes on this. We'll add another 3 minutes because Paul Feinbaum. I do want to talk about this. Paul Feinbaum said, I believe on Sunday. About John Sumrall, that he had heard that there were 2 schools interested in Sumrall being the head coach. And he said he heard a lot of buzz. He did not clearly, I mean, he actually, the only one he clearly said was Kentucky as being interested in the Sumrall sweepstakes. And then the other one he insinuated was Auburn. Interesting if true, if that's already being floated around the athletics department. I mean, come on, Feinbaum is old school. I would never really go against him. Come on.
I wouldn't.
I would never put money against him. That is interesting if true. But if you're in it against Auburn, I mean, then I mean, you do have to hope that maybe the romance of it being his alma mater. Yeah.
The
romance of it being his alma mater pulls him in.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And in terms of prestigious programs, I mean, of course, Auburn, like, can you imagine taking over Auburn compared to here?
Yeah.
Like the history of Auburn.
Yeah, it would be tough. It's tough. And Arkansas looks like they're going to open up. I wouldn't be shocked to see them interested in him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe Sam Pittman will be the coach over there another year. As far as Stoops, it's obviously the ball's in his court. I don't change that up either. I mean, we can't fire him. So, but I do, again, I do hold the stance. I do stand firm on my belief that it is time for Kentucky and Mark Stoops to part ways. So, but
I think even going even farther than that, he might just part ways with football in general.
I think
I think it's
I will that time. I will say I thought last week, if you had asked me about this time last week, I would have said that Mark Stoops, I thought, was more likely to be the head coach here than not. I am changing my tone on that. My attitude is changing quickly. I'm not claiming to know anything. I just I don't see it happening. I think Mark Stoops is probably on his way out.
I get it, man. And then you factor in like I asked you a couple weeks ago, I said, have we peaked in the Mark Stoops era? And I think we have, and now we're going down. And how are you going to come back up to a 9-10-1 season?
And you can't
do any better than that.
And I think I told you at that moment that it depended on how the rest of the season played out for me to change up for me to make a definitive answer. I think I can give a pretty definitive answer by now.
Yeah, I mean,
the program has most likely peaked under Mark Stoops.
And we're not going to be bowl eligible unless we pull off a miracle at Texas.
And Louisville is better than us. Let's be honest. They just beat Clemson by 20 the other day.
Yeah, Louisville's not as easy as it has been in the past.
I am now afraid of getting into the world where the team quits. I kind of see that incoming, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to accuse anyone that's currently out of quitting. There are things going on. I heard a lot of people talk about Maxwell Harrison about, that's been a big thing. Like, why is he not played? His is a serious issue. I can tell you that much. It's a serious health issue.
Yeah, Stoops gave an update on that, said he should be back for the Murray State game.
Yeah, but that was a serious, alarm. My clock is telling me to stop, but I did say we'd extend this for about three or three more minutes. It is a serious issue,
and some fans probably take it the wrong way, but don't do that.
Yeah, calm down on it a little bit.
A serious issue.
It was a much more serious medical issue than I think people understand. So obviously, prayers to him. Hope he's all right. But
that should be if they get him back for that Murray State game, like Stoops said.
And do note that he is coming back from Murray State, so it's not like he's in danger right now. So do note that. So things are looking good for him.
At least he's in the process of coming back.
Exactly. But as far as coaching, though, I was asked today by somebody if I thought if Summerall was the head coach here, that if anyone from the staff currently would come back. I mean, I don't have any real educated answer other than new Deadpool movie says an educated wish. So I'll go with that or a guess. I think personally they need to do a clean sweep of the program. We're going to be in rebuild mode for 2 years, no matter what, even if Mark Stoops is a coach here or not. I think there are going to be a number of players transfer out. So, and I don't see the transfer portal really giving as much as it has in the past either.
Yeah. I do think, you said clean sweep. I think I will do anything in my power if I was Mitch to try to keep Vince Barrow, because the one constant, it's kind of like the glue. Without Vince,
I can agree with that.
Where would we be right now?
And I can see if John Summerall were to actually be the head coach of Kentucky football, that potentially happening. Because obviously they were on staff together at Kentucky. Summerall was co-defensive coordinator. Merrill obviously been the associate head coach from day one. So I could see there maybe being potential there, but I don't know where Vince Merrill's head is. I don't know where John Summerall's head is. John Summerall might want a clean sweep if he's the coach here. Vince Merrill might have a loyalty to Mark Stoops only, and that's fine. So it's gonna be this is gonna be a thing, though. We're gonna have to watch this for a while because I think the Matt Jones on Kentucky Sports Radio said the other day that he believed the next 2 weeks were crucial. We're going to be crucial for determining the future of the Kentucky football program, as in some decisions are probably going to be made. That's interesting too. Again, that, Matt Jones and Paul Finebaum are two people I would never bet money against on information. So
that, and also that Murray State crowd, that's
gonna be insufferable. That's gonna be awful.
Indication where the fan base is at right now. It will be, because that's not gonna be a good crowd.
I generally think the fan base is over Mark Stoops. That's the vibe I get from most of the fans. Most of the non-extreme social media fans, that is.
It's I will say it's much better to go out and guess people instead of
And that's what I've kind of been.
Instead of just filling the Twitter side.
Man, I got an idea. What if we took this podcast to the Murray State game? There's gonna be two people there, man.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it.
It's crazy.
Hit us up. Anyway, so.
It's crazy.
They'd listen. And there's nobody else going to be there.
That's insane.
Okay, so that's it for football. We're doom and gloom there.
I'll be in the press box, so.
Well, yeah.
Come up and join me.
Yeah, there we go. Me. I'll break in up there or something. So, let's talk about something way happier. Way happier. That is that the Kentucky Wildcats basketball team is back for the 2024-25 season. They kicked off on Monday against Wright State. Wildcats won 103-62. Really, really nice performance from the whole team, to be honest with you. At least as far as my perspective goes. Mark Pope wins his first game as the head coach of the Kentucky Wildcats. He now has a 100% win percentage as a Kentucky basketball head coach. We're going to keep that up, hopefully, for the next couple games. So, Wyatt, I'll just let you do your thing since this is your specialty, man. Go ahead and break this game down for us, what you saw and what you liked.
I love the defense. We talk a lot about the offense, but the defense was terrific. We held Wright State to 19% from 3, 5 of 27. With an offensive team doing that on the defensive end, that can't help but get you excited, because that's really impressive. And it was also a game of runs. Like, the Cats had 4 or 5 runs that were big. I remember a 15-2 run. I think it was the end of the first half was the big run. And then they kind of pulled away there, and they never looked back. It was great.
I will say the most impressive player to me, I don't know why I was surprised by him, but a little bit was Amari Williams. Loved his physicality. Love what he does at the rim. He is going
his,
to be
his passing. He might be on triple double watch. Because of his passing.
I mean, I'm not. He might be. I mean, he's a phenomenal passer. And what's incredible to me about it is that he is the facilitator of the offense. He really is. They're getting him up in the high post pretty often, and he's facilitating these guards.
I think I've talked about this before, but when I watched BYU tape, Pope would have a tendency to bring the big man up and kind of go through him up at the top of the key, and it's you saw that.
I love it. I love that. By the way,
Amari is the perfect guy for that too.
Yeah, I love the McLean County sweatshirt. Nice addition there. Absolutely, though. Amari, I love that, and I love just what he does on the defensive side of things. He is a physical man in the paint. I mean, I can't imagine being a player like a guard that's like 6'3" and looking at him and going, yeah, I'm going to drive down there and just see, test my luck here.
Gosh.
It's probably getting swatted back in your face, or it's getting so contested to the point where you're going to be bruised at the end of the night. He's also clearly going to be our leading rebounder. That man swallows up rebounds. So I look forward 13. To watching him play.
He had a double-double with
12 points, 13 rebounds. Yeah, yeah,
and he's really efficient too. He went 5 for 6. I know a lot of his shots are close to the rim, but I mean that's pretty good.
Yeah. Now I will say, let's work on that jumper and that free throw form.
Oh, the form is not good. The form is not good.
Yeah. I don't know who taught him to shoot, but that's not really how you're supposed to do it.
Yeah. It looked like on 2K where you're trying to shoot, but then you quickly press the pass.
I can't get it. He looks like he's shooting with the wrong hand. It's hilarious. Yeah. And then he pushes it like straight. I don't know really how it gets over the rim. I was sitting in reserve students about the fourth row. I was kind of behind the bench. It was cool. So I don't know how he got it over the rim.
Yeah. I don't know, man. But I got faith in the staff. They'll get it worked out.
Hopefully. Yeah. Because you're not going to be able to, you definitely won't be able to run a five out with him on the court. But, I mean, then again, you have four shooters out at all times pretty much. So,
and another thing I loved was how the defense of the goal, like turning the defense into offense. Like it was really impressive.
Yeah, I loved it too.
Oway and Butler combined for 6 steals, I think, and 2 blocks. And that they're menaces on the defensive
end. I'm now watching Chuck Martin have to go grab John Calipari and keep him from getting ejected from this game.
we've seen that a lot, haven't we?
Yeah, where did that come from? People are going to throw some mud at us for that. For me, just watching this game probably, but whatever. It's college basketball, guys. I want to watch college basketball, and college basketball team.
Hey, I took Arkansas to cover.
Why would you ever take a John Calipari team to cover in one of their opening games against a mid-major team?
I mean, it was – you know what the spread was?
No.
14.5.
I wouldn't even take that. I think he's going to be like a 12-point game.
No, I took it, man.
I mean, it's pretty close right now.
I thought it was really low, so I jumped
Lipscomb. Lipscomb's a good team. I mean, they were a tournament team. They're a good team. They've done some things in the tournament in the past. But anyway, this is not an Arkansas podcast. This is a Kentucky podcast. Yeah, we get it. You could stop screaming at me about it. yeah, Mark Pope, Kentucky, the better of the two evils. Either way. So, Mark Pope, Kentucky, obviously the best of those two. I love everything about what this team is looking like. Love everything about it. Love the intensity.
Do you also like how they turn the defense and the offense?
I love it, dude. They had at one point, I believe, I rewatched the game on ESPN because, again, I was so like drawn in to what they're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to rewatch it. I believe at one point they were leading like points in transition, like 36-2 or something.
Call me crazy, but I rewatched most of it too.
Why would you not? It's fun to watch. Like when it's that much fun to watch, you got to rewatch it. We haven't had basketball that was fun to watch in a long time, and we got it now. So there you go. Last year's team, love them to death, gave us a heart attack most of the time.
I remember that. Oh, who was it? Was it St. Joe's?
Yeah, the overtime game. I was at that one. I went to that game. Shout out Phoenix Stevens. I was actually with him that game.
Oh, it was rough, man.
Yeah, tough game.
Overtime against St. Joe's. They had. Wait a minute. What am I? Oh, okay. Never mind.
The points in transition are going to be a huge thing for this team.
I was looking at the wrong stat. I'd love to give you something.
But I'm not really outside of maybe we scored
36. No, you're right. We scored 36 fast break points to their 5. So that tells you something right there.
I don't think there's any team outside of Alabama, maybe, that can run with Kentucky this year. We are so fast. We get the ball up the court quick. Even I love watching Amari Williams get like a rebound, and immediately he's pushing up the court. Like, he pushes it up the court. He doesn't give it to the point guard. He himself pushes it up the court.
Yeah, man. Like him and – I noticed this during the blue-white game. Like him and Andrew Carr both, they would just go up the court without waiting. Because you know in the past where big men would just sit there and wait, like you said?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like, God. Like
just move, dude. Get it going. Like, I love it.
But dude, that's why he has such versatile guys in the front court.
Exactly. When those guys are great facilitators for your offense. This is this is really cool, man. I love watching.
And I wrote about it before, but Kerr really pushes the pace of the offense too.
Yeah, he didn't score, but he was clearly a factor.
Yeah, man. Like, and you saw that in the last exhibition too. When he was actually a real factor in that game.
Oh yeah, I mean he's. Yeah, I have been.
You better not look down at your phone with this team, because you look back up and they were on defense.
That was a shot at me.
Nope. No, just kidding.
No, yeah, you'll.
You were on your phone.
Yeah. Like, I thought you were like, I was like, what are you?
No,
I was
like, no, but I was on my phone. Just
No, you're good. But no, I agree 100%. This team is so fast. It's just, you're going to miss. You'll blink and you miss them. Yeah, and this team is just going to be a blast to watch.
I can't get over it. Like I wrote about it, Ortega and Lamont, how they're so.
Kobe Brea, dude. An open Kobe Brea three is money. Oh,
dude, I was so happy for him that he got it going. I think if he can get his shot attempts up, he'll be dangerous.
Oh, he's a threat. There was a lineup one time where it was like him, Jackson Robinson, Andrew Carr, and I believe they had Kerr in. And I believe at the four they had Almanor. Mm-hmm. That's five people that can shoot the three, dude. That's five. Andrew Carr didn't hit one, but he could shoot it. We know he can.
Dude, I underestimated Ansley's shot making.
Man, he's something. He's a good shooter.
Because
and
he is literally a sharp shooter.
There's not a bad shooter on this team.
No.
I'm trying not to overreact.
I can't think of one that's when they shoot. It's like, please don't.
Like Brandon Garrison is the only one.
Maybe Garrison?
And Amari Williams, maybe not interested in seeing that one either. But those are the only two on the team where I'm like, please, please don't. Yeah, Garrison, every time he shoots, is probably like, yeah, this is going to go like off the back iron probably.
So. Maybe Garrison, but I feel like they're really trying to work on a mid-range at least.
They're trying to develop that is what's pretty clear to me. Like that, for maybe like the next year or two.
Was it Nick Richards who had an automatic mid-range jumper?
He did his junior year, junior Nick Richards, Nick Richards for All-America. The only campaign I'll ever care about. I love it. Someone reposted that on Election Day. It took me back, dude. I love that video. The Nick Richards makes me believe and all that stuff. Like, I love it.
I remember.
I'm Nick Richards. I approve this message.
One game he had Dickie V standing in the student section with the sign.
Yeah. That team, that team was the last team that we had in that era that was just so much fun and such a lovable team. And they lost to Evansville. So, I mean, the mid-major losses in the opening weeks. Hell, we lost to UNC Wilmington last year, didn't we?
Man, they've really turned around after that Evansville game.
I know. They really, really did. I loved them.
I was going to go to the SEC tournament that year, and then the COVID happened and everything got canceled. I was down, man, because I was like, come on.
Yeah.
That was going to be so fun, too.
Yeah, I know. That still is one of the saddest things to me. That team had a chance. Yeah. Now, whether they did win who knows, but.
That's a team you always look back on and be like, what if?
Like they had a chance. They had a real chance. They're probably getting ready to be like a 2 or 3 seed.
Yeah.
And we're going to probably get a good draw because it came out that they were probably supposed to be in the same bracket as Dayton that year with the one when they had Obi Toppin. Come on, give me that all day with that team.
They
but anyway,
were hot, dude.
Look into the future, though. You told me last week you were going to have a really detailed, thorough review of Duke. Do we have that?
Not yet.
That sound like yet. Harvey Specter from Suits.
Can't look ahead yet.
That's true. We got Bucknell.
I didn't think about it. We won't have another podcast until Well, that kind of screws everything up.
No, man, we're good. Let's talk about both of them, dude. Let's talk about both of them. Okay. Let's get this going. So, Bucknell, right?
I can always give you some things.
All right.
I don't know about Bucknell, but...
I don't know anything about Bucknell. Let's see what they're called. They're called the Bison.
Nate Sestina.
That is where Nate Sestina played, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, he was a grad transfer out of Bucknell. Look at that. The Nate Sestina Bowl happening right here in Lexington on Saturday. What an awesome. Hey, get this going right now. Tag Nate Sestina for the Nate Sestina Bowl.
Got you.
Got to get it going, man. Got to get it going. So in the Nate Sestina Bowl, Kentucky, I think, is like a 20-something and a half point favorite. Yeah. Last time I saw. I don't really know anything about Bucknell, I'll be honest with you. I'm not the most inclined on Bucknell basketball. Let's see what they did last year.
I don't yet, but that's why we have Pulp's Presser tomorrow.
Exactly. That's where
I learn everything about these kind of teams. No offense.
So Bucknell was 14-19 last year. They were 10-8 in the Patriot League Conference. So they were like fifth, I believe. They haven't been very good in a long time, it looks like, according to their Wikipedia page. So the last team they had that was good was the Nate Sestina.
I can tell you one thing.
Yeah.
Just by looking at the stats, I mean, it's pretty obvious. Their best player is Noah Williamson, big man, and he has a double-double. He had a double-double in the first game of the season, so 19-12.
Maybe a threat there, so Amara Williams maybe having some physicality, some challenge there.
I literally glanced at the stats, saw he leads in like two or three different categories, and was like,
What's his name, Noah Williams?
Yeah, Noah Williamson.
Williamson. All right, let's look at this. All right, so he's 7 feet tall, 250 pounds. Yeah, Mar, you might have your fight cut. You might have to fight a little bit this time.
The first game, it's clear who their scores are. They had four different players in double figures, scored 85 points. And, yeah, I mean, they don't really pass much, only 14 assists compared to all 30.
Yeah, so... Maybe a little bit different in philosophy. This might be a good game for Kentucky then as far as that goes because this is definitely going to be a tune-up game, hopefully. Hopefully we win. It's a tune-up game. And then Tuesday we get to the main event with Duke. I can't tell you how stoked I am for that game. I cannot wait for that game. I am ready to run through a wall for that one. Got my whole night planned out already to a T. Looking forward to it. Jets Pizza for the win, by the way. Not sponsored. So
it's a good idea.
Yeah,
I've actually had that before.
They're pretty good. They're close to where I live, so like you know, it's pretty good. But to me, that game's important because it's Mark Pope's chance at getting the the signature win, get the era started off for Cal Perry in 09. That would have been North Carolina, probably. And then you have Pitino. I think was it Kansas. I believe was the team that he beat that kind of had him.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what it was for Tubby Smith. That team is kind of automatically good, but like, still, this is Pope's opportunity at that. So it's going to be important, and I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, we know the one guy on that team, Cooper Flagg. Get ready, Zion Williamson level of glazing by ESPN for the rest of the year with that guy. It's going to be bad. Get ready, folks. You know how Duke is about their tall white guys. This is no exception. So I like Flagg, I will admit. I think he's a talented guy. His shooting is iffy.
It's clear so far the best players are I can't say his name. I think it's Knipple. I think that's how he said it one day. Oh man. When I heard him say that, I was like, no way.
Who's this for?
I don't want to say that name. Oh, let's just call him Colin. How about that?
Yeah, there you go. Just call him that.
Because I'll laugh every time I say his name. But yeah, I mean, he had a really, really good debut the other day. I watched a little bit of that, man.
Dude, they're good. You got Flag and Knipple over there.
No, I didn't know how to say his name until one day I saw a video and he was like, how do you say his name? I think Jamie Salford. And he was like, how do you say your name? He was like, Knipple, like the body part. And I started laughing.
That's a good name. I mean, it's not as bad as that one kid whose first name starts with Noah. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about, but I'll send it to you if you don't.
No, I don't. But yeah, like they are, I think right here it looks like so far they have six guys averaging in double figures after the first game.
Check your text. Con, I just sent you the Con name of the guy.
Con and Cooper Flagg are clearly the best players.
Right.
I can tell you that for a fact.
Like, yeah, it's a.
Okay, yeah. I know what you're talking about now. But...
don't tell me the first time you read that you went, wait, hang on. That you didn't go like, oh, wait, what?
I did.
I think it's going to be difficult for us to guard Flagg. They have a lot of height on Duke this year, a lot of height. We are pretty mediocre in that category.
I'm worried if you take the approach of like load up on one guy, let the other guy score, that they'll win because they got other guys.
Yeah, that's the problem with them. Maybe you load up on everyone else and let one guy, say, hey, Cooper Flagg, score 50. Like, and Flagg, too, is not necessarily the greatest shooter in the world. So that's something to consider. But
Con shot 57% from the floor at a pretty good clip. I think he went 8 for 14. So 14 attempts and he still shot 57%.
Dang, man.
That's something. 3 for 8 from deep. So
I mean, I will say I'm hopeful for this game. I think we can pull it off.
I am. I just
cautiously optimistic. I will admit.
Man, I'm just. I don't know. I'm just worried. I'm worried about those two are clearly their top guys, and I'm just worried about containing them.
Yeah, because like you said, they have two of them. They'll have to.
Looking at the stats, I know you probably know the name Isaiah Evans. That's a 5-star recruit.
But yeah, definitely.
He did nothing last game. And he played 7 minutes, unless he got hurt, that I'm not aware of.
I can definitely see a world where they're like, all right, Cooper Flagg score 50 on us. That's how you're going to win.
That confuses me, looking at the stats, because I figured he would be one of the top guys.
Right. And Jackson Robinson, I expect more from him in that game than we got. He didn't really touch the ball a whole lot against Wright State. So I'm not really concerned by him at all. The guard play, our guards are studs. I'm not,
man.
We have phenomenal guard play. I look forward to that. Our bigs are good, too. We're a pretty well-rounded team. I'm pretty ecstatic. So I think it's our time for –
The defensive play from the guards, Lamont and Ortega, I think will tell the story.
I agree. And also, we don't talk about this enough, but generally from the Champions Classic game, you can get a pretty solid read on how this team's going to be. Generally, when we can see if we could compete with these good teams or beat them or not. Because, thinking back last year, we competed with Kansas but choked against them. Obviously, we gave up, a 16-point lead. Team was okay. 2022, lost to a pretty disappointing Michigan State team. That team ended up having whatever they had happen. The year before, that team surprised us with how well they competed against Duke. So, just looking back, there is a correlation. There is a clear.
And you know how we talked about turning defense into offense? Last game, Duke committed 13 turnovers.
Well, there you go. Turnover-heavy team.
They did have 10 steals, but I think the Cats can try to capitalize on their turnovers. Big in this game.
We definitely enjoy forcing a turnover on our defense. Oh, that's definitely our idea. We trap. It's so cool. We're trapping. Isn't that something? Did you ever think you'd see a Kentucky basketball team that trapped?
No, man. And they're up in their grill. Like, it's the perfect guys for that, too.
Oh, yeah. They're great for it.
They're menaces, dude. Don't pass lazy either against us.
No, very, very much don't do that. A lot of length, man. A lot of length. Those popcorn passes not working this week. So It's now time for our favorite part of the podcast. We're going to talk about gambling. 1-800-GAMBLER is the gambling hotline. We are not claiming to be experts, nor have we ever. So please, we're simply talking ball. We are not telling you to take these picks. So please, if you discretion advised, we are not telling you to take these picks nor recommending them. So there you go. Let's start off on Friday. Yeah, let's do Iowa at UCLA. Iowa is a -6.5 point favorite. Over under 45. I'm taking the under, by the way. I'm going to take Iowa to cover -6.5.
Iowa and who? I'm sorry.
At UCLA. Sorry, you're
I
good.
Was doing something. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good.
I'll actually take Iowa. I do like Iowa.
Not bought on UCLA either. So Saturday at 12 o'clock p.m. We're going to be a little shorter on this one than usual. I think
Iowa
this
sucks. Has been.
Yeah, I was terrible. Number four, Miami at Georgia Tech. Miami, a -10.5 point favorite. I'm going to take the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets +10.5. Hot take, I know. But no, Miami.
I'll take Miami.
Miami's close in these games, man. I'm feeling
all
it.
All day.
Florida at number five, Texas. Texas -21.5. Florida +21.5. I'll take that one, too. I'll actually take
Florida.
They gave Georgia a fit last week, so I will take Florida +21.5. Feels like Georgia barely won that game. I mean, Georgia barely
really
won
like
that game.
I think they could put up a – get it close than people think.
I think so, too.
Especially since it's noon, not a night. If it was night, I'd be like,
all right. Ooh. Let's get to West Virginia at Cincinnati. Who cares about this game? Cincinnati -5. Yeah, boring
is
game.
Is this a rivalry?
I think it used to be back in the Big East.
Because it feels like a rivalry.
I feel like it should be,
I swear I've seen this.
Two major, like, port areas, so, like, rivers and stuff. So like,
I'll take West Virginia.
I'll take Neil Brown.
No
plus
reason.
+5. All right.
You got a reason behind yours?
No reason. Neil Brown.
See? Like,
Neil Brown.
I have no reason.
Neil Brown +5. Neil Brown coaching for his job is actually my reason. He is definitely coaching for his life. So, Purdue at number two, Ohio State. Ohio State -38. I don't know. Purdue sucks, but
this is no man.
This
I'll
is a trap. -38.
Purdue
+38. Purdue. Yeah, this is a trap.
I'll take Purdue all day.
This is a way for them to get your money. So
that's a lot of points, man. Like you got to do a little extra to get up to 38. Like 38.
Yeah.
That's a lot, man.
Number three, Georgia at number 16, Ole Miss. Georgia -2.5 point favorite. Take Georgia -2.5. I think they are winning this game, and they're going to surprise people by how much they win it by.
Yeah,
traditional Georgia thing.
If you don't take them, that essentially means they lose, right?
Pretty much.
Man, I'll go Georgia.
I think I'm going to take Georgia. Michigan at number eight, Indiana. Did you ever think you'd say number eight, Indiana in football?
No.
Indiana
-4. They were
awful with Tom Allen there. They had that one okay year with Michael Penix, but that was it. Kalen DeBoer, offensive coordinator in Indiana that year with Tom Allen. Now the head coach at Alabama. Pretty interesting fun fact there.
That was.
Number eight, Indiana, a -14.5 point favorite. I'm going to take Michigan +14.5 here. Indiana,
we're agreeing all day.
Indiana
man.
Is due to fall apart, people. I'm telling you. It is happening eventually.
They'll have it. Yeah, you gotta keep picking it until it happens.
Yeah, it's one of those. They definitely surprised me against Michigan State, but, I mean, I think Michigan is a team that could give them a fit. So, number 25, Army at North Texas. Army kind of playing for their playoff hopes here a little bit. Army a -5.5 point favorite. I'll take Army -5.5.
Again,
they're a good team.
I mean, I like this one. It's a really nice slate, man.
Yeah, we got some good games on here. Number 23, Clemson. My God, they dropped all the way to 23. Whoa. Number 23, Clemson.
Get clapped by Louisville. You're going to drop a lot. 12
man,
spots, right?
Yeah, 23, Clemson at Virginia Tech. Clemson, -6.5 point favorite. I'm going to take Voltech +6.5.
I'll take Clemson.
Clemson's usually terrible on the rebound lately with Dabo. So I'm going to go ahead and take Vautech.
I'll take Clemson. I like that.
Number 20, Colorado at Texas Tech. Colorado minus 3.5 point favorite. This one is close. Hate this one. I'm going to take
I'll take Colorado.
I'm going to take Colorado, too. I'm going to take them minus 3.5. Essentially, like the Georgia game, that's essentially taking them to win. Here's a good one.
Are you going to pick the Tulane game here?
Yeah, sure.
Like the spread.
Minus 27 for that
like
one.
That,
Temple at Tulane, minus 27. I will take Temple plus 27, please. Tulane is very good, and they're dominating, but
that's a lot. For a team that's not ranked, that's a lot.
I mean, Tulane's really good, and they're dominating, but I'm going to take plus 27.
That's why I stopped you in the tracks, because
that's a ton.
What?
All right, South Carolina at Vanderbilt, the surprise bowl here. Two teams that have shocked people with some wins. South Carolina coming off a huge win against A&M by about 24 points. Minus 4 point favorite for them. I'm going to take Vanderbilt plus 4. This is at Vandy. I think Vanderbilt gets South Carolina. This is the type of team they've kind of owned lately. So
I'll go South Carolina.
All right, so I'll take Vanderbilt plus 4 there. Let's see. Let's call it. Let's do like two or three more, and then we'll call it. We got to do this one. Number 11 Alabama at number 15 LSU, playing for their playoff hopes. Alabama minus 2.5 point favorite. I'm going to take Alabama. Their backs are against the wall. Jalen Milroe with his back against the wall is kind of dangerous.
Roll Tide.
Yeah, there you go. Alabama minus 2.5.
That's a.
Oh, here's a fun one. Number 10, wow. Notre Dame.
I can't wait to watch that game.
That's going to be a great game. Not as good as this one, though. Number 10, Notre Dame at Florida State. Minus 26 for Notre Dame. Take Notre Dame to cover this team. Florida State has quit. Notre Dame is playing for the playoff hopes. They need to win by a bunch, and I believe that carries them.
Yeah, this is one of those games that I'll actually take the points.
Florida State, Mike Norvell's out of the job after this year, if you ask me. I think they're getting ready to fire him. You can't go. They're going to go 1-11. They're going to go 1-11 or 2-10. I mean,
that week zero game haunts me.
Yeah, you did.
It does, man.
You lost pretty hard that week. Oklahoma at number 23, Missouri. Oklahoma minus 3 point favorite. Whoever set that as the line is stupid. Missouri plus 3 all day. Oklahoma sucks. Oklahoma's a trash team, man.
I'll go Missouri, man.
Oklahoma's trash this year.
Wait. Why is Missouri underdog?
I have no idea. Like, Missouri is a much better team than Oklahoma.
I'll get on that after this. I'll get back to you on that to figure out why.
That's weird to me.
Because that is insane.
Washington at number 6, Penn State. Penn State minus 13.5 point favorite. I'm going to take Washington plus 13.5. Penn State, another team not usually good off of a rebound. For a loss like that. So a crushing loss too for them. You know, we haven't talked about it. You think James Franklin's on the hot seat over there? I think he not is.
Far. Yeah.
He's got a lot of pressure on him to start winning and start winning now. So it's going to be a tough couple weeks for him. They better see results. Number 12, Boise State and Nevada. Boise State minus 24 point favorite. I'm going to take Nevada plus 24 here.
I'll ride with the Heisman.
He's winning the Heisman. I'll definitely take Ashton Jaynty for the Heisman. Let's do – this will be our last one. Number 9, BYU, who would be the 4 seed in the college football playoff today.
Did we skip over Tennessee and Mississippi State?
Did we?
Yeah, think so.
Hang on. Let me go back
I don't remember. I went back and scrolled through for a second, and I realized I don't remember.
Give me the line.
Tennessee is minus 24.
I'll take Mississippi State plus 24. Mississippi State has been giving some top-ranked teams fits lately, and they play with a ton of heart. They clearly love Jeff Lebby over there. Those players do. They clearly love their head coach. So, They remind me of the Detroit Lions, but college football version. This is kind of a down year, but they clearly
they
play
fight,
hard.
They fight
yeah. and they love their coach.
Yeah.
So I actually, I'll call my shot here. I foresee some success for Mississippi State under Jeff Lebby eventually.
That's a lot of points, man. I've learned a lot with college football spreads.
BYU.
If there's a lot of points, no, you're good. If there's a lot of points, I'm more hesitant to take the favorite with the lot.
Yeah, I can totally agree with
chances
you on that.
Chances are the underdog will cover.
Yeah.
That is a lot of points.
All right, last one here. The BYU, who would be the 4 seed in the playoff today, which is really strange to me. BYU would be the 4 seed in the playoff today. At Utah, a huge rivalry, now a conference matchup in the Big 12. BYU a -4 point favorite. I'm going to take BYU -4.
Yep.
I'm sold on BYU.
They've done me right all season, man.
I'm sold on. And Utah also severely disappointing this year. So, all right, score prediction, Kentucky Bucknell. Who you got? Who's your MVP and what's your score?
I'll do the score first because I got to think. I'll go 95-67 Cats. And my MVP is Lamont Butler.
We were both pretty close on our scores for this Wright State game. I had 105-60. I believe you had like 95-62. So impressive on our part.
You had 105-60?
Yep.
That was 2 points.
You
were close, man. Yeah, you're 2 points off on both teams.
I need to get on DraftKings and start doing the score predictions.
Yeah.
No, not really. I'm gonna take.
Oh man, if you put like a dollar or two on that every game, you get one right. You'll make $100.
All right. Once again, 1-800-GAMBLER. if you or a loved one has a gambling problem,
I think that's a good strategy.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm gonna take Kentucky, obviously, to win. I don't think they break 100 again. I'm going to go 97.
See, I will
55.
That's me with the score predict 97-55. Yeah, I will rarely pick them to break 100 just because that's rare anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to take
I'll always pick them to be close.
I'm going to take 97-55. I'm going to say Jackson Robinson has his showing out on Saturday. He hits 6-7 threes, whatever.
Oh man. When he gets going. Oh.
Are we going to have another one before Duke? Should we do a Duke prediction right now?
We could do one before Duke.
We can plan it out to where we do one before Duke. We can do it on Monday.
Good.
Let's do
good,
that.
Because
let's do it on Monday.
I felt bad. I let you
no,
down.
No,
on you didn't, stuff.
No. We let each other down on that one, bro. We let each other
I,
down
I,
on that
I,
one.
I'm like the team. I try not to look ahead, but I always keep one open for Duke.
I mean, UNC Wilmington did happen, so yeah, you know. Either way, there you have it.
If that didn't teach you not to look ahead, then
I don't know what will. I really don't know what will because they beat North Carolina the game after that year. So anyway, I got nothing else about you.
No, just looking forward to another turn up game for Duke.
Yeah, so that's it for me. You know, as usual, go Cats. We'll see you later.